before that. We have been talking about the Lordship of Jesus for the last several weeks. And talking about things like, you know, if Jesus is our Lord, what does that mean for us? And how are we supposed to be living? How do we should we be responding to Jesus if He truly is Lord of our lives? And, you know, this morning what I want us to focus on is we kind of are moving, and you know this is all designed this way to get us thinking more and more in terms of sharing and reaching out to other people with the message of Jesus, you see? And so it's sharing the Lordship of Jesus with other people. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. And I want to call your attention to the text that was read for us as we began over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Now, as we look at the beginning of this, what we see here is that Paul is really kind of preparing Timothy in the first couple of statements that he makes here. He's really preparing him for the work that he needs to be doing. And that work, by the way, wasn't intended by God to be reserved just for Timothy. Guess who else God intends to be doing that very same work? Exactly. Okay? Jerry recognized that. Did anybody else say that? Us? Me? Okay, yeah. So you see, it's for all of us that we need to be doing the same thing. Look at what he says here. Beginning in verse 6, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And look at verse 7. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Now, so whatever gifts God has given, and it's not by the laying on of the apostles' hand that He's given you or me those gifts, but certainly He has given each of us gifts through His Holy Spirit living and working and dwelling within each and every one of us. Talents, abilities, things that He wants us to be doing. So we are, therefore, without excuse. You see, we believe the Holy Spirit lives and works within us. He's living and working in there, don't you think, for a reason? You see? Because He wants us to be doing something, you see? And so we have the Spirit living and dwelling within us. And that Spirit, we have to recognize in the same way Paul is telling Timothy, it's not a spirit of timidity. God did not give us a spirit of timidity that makes us sit back and go, "Oh, I can't do that." You see? But rather, He gave us a spirit, as He says, of a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. See? And why would God give us that kind of spirit rather than a spirit of timidity? Well, it's because He wants us to be sharing the gospel with others. He wants us to be sharing the Lordship of Jesus with others. So let's take a look at some things that I want to suggest to you are an important part of sharing Jesus and His Lordship with other people. And one of the first things that we need to understand about that is that sharing the Lordship of Jesus should bring no shame to us whatsoever. Look in verse 8 of that very same text. He says, "So," and that "so" is based on what He's just said, you see, about this Spirit that we have, that God has given to us. He says, "So, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, His prisoner." Don't be ashamed about that at all. Now, I don't know what your, I know what a lot of your allegiances are when it comes to professional football. But some of those don't count, okay? For those of you who... I'm just kidding, you know that. Okay, I don't know what you think about the Denver Broncos, but if you haven't seen the news, especially the sporting news, then you may not be aware of the quarterback of that team by the name of Tim Tebow, okay? And the thing that's interesting about Tim Tebow is that he has, you know, for a good part of his life, as I understand, and certainly throughout his whole college football career, and now even as a professional quarterback with the Denver Broncos, He has never been afraid or ashamed to demonstrate his faith. And even to the extent that he has a I don't know, what do you call it, a position that he takes when he, you know, makes a touchdown or what have you, where he gets down on one knee and he, you know, bows his head, puts his hand, and he gives glory to God for all of those things. Now, the interesting thing about that, in the climate that we have here in America today over Christianity, Tim Tebow has become a source of mockery and disdain for a lot of people because of his demonstration of his faith. Okay, a lot of the sports announcers are just making fun of him because of what he does. You see, but that has not stopped him, because he's not ashamed of the Lord. You see. There is a school, a high school up in New York, that, and this will tell you a little bit more about, you know, the character and the faith of Tim Tebow. This high school in New York suspended, I think there were three boys, and then there was a whole bunch of other kids that are now protesting against this suspension because these three boys were doing the Tebow, and that's what they call it. You see, they were Tebowing, in other words, doing what Tim Tebow does, but they were doing it in the hallway of their school. And, of course, the administrator said, that's causing a disruption. You got to stop doing that. Well, they continued doing it, and so they suspended these boys. A lot of people are all upset about that. They said it's an attack on Christianity. I don't know what you think about all that, but here's what Tim Tebow has to say about that. He says, you know what? I'm glad that these boys are demonstrating their faith, but we all need to obey those who are in authority over us. You see? And so he's encouraging them to, yes, indeed, demonstrate their faith and not be afraid of that, but do it within, you know, the authorities that are above you and so on and so forth. So, you know, this isn't a lesson about Tim Tebow, but I want to share that with you because in today's world, you see, what a great example of someone who is actually living exactly what Paul is saying right here. They do not be ashamed. And he's not. No matter what anybody says, no matter what criticism he gets, he continues to do it. He doesn't do it in a flaunting way. He just does it because he gives praise to God. See? And so, you know, what a great example, and especially for our young people. We've got a tremendous amount of athletes out there that are not very good examples, you know, to our young people in the way they live. See? The interesting thing about Tim Tebow is the reason that he has become such a, everybody's focusing on him is because God is blessing him with a tremendous amount of success. I wonder why that might be. You see? I wonder why that might be. But we must never be ashamed of our relationship with Christ. You see? In order to share the Lordship of Jesus, we've got to understand there's nothing there to be ashamed of, you see. And we've got to be willing to stand up and to acknowledge Jesus in the world that we live in. Look over in Mark chapter 8 for just a moment. It's interesting to me, Steve, how the songs that you picked out, well, you knew the topic, but the songs that you picked out kind of even follow right along with the lesson, the notes in terms of the text that we're looking at. In Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34, Jesus has this to say to the crowd that was following him, his disciples along with them. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Look at verse 35. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, look at verse 38. Put a little star there next to it. Okay? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. You see, there's a whole lot of things there that Jesus is telling us that's involved in sharing the Lordship of Jesus, isn't it? That we've got to, first of all, deny ourselves. And some of us, you know, at times even in my life, I have a difficult time just getting over that hurdle. How about you? You see? But He calls upon us to deny ourselves. Then He says, take up your cross. And then He says, and follow Me. Those are three distinct things that He's telling us we need to do concerning the Lordship of Jesus. If anyone would come after Me, that's what He's saying. That's the context, is following the Lordship of Jesus. Then all three of those things are involved in that. Deny self, take up your cross, and come after Me. See? And then He talks about the importance of not being ashamed of Him in this world that we live in. Because if we're ashamed of Him and His Word, He's going to be ashamed of us when it comes time to stand before the Father. I don't know about you, but the last thing in the world I want to hear in the judgment is that Jesus to say, I don't know Him. I'm ashamed of Him. Because He was ashamed of me. Okay. So we need to understand, that when we're sharing the Lordship of Jesus, that should bring absolutely no shame to us whatsoever. Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Okay? So we need to be prepared as we're sharing the Lordship of Jesus with others to make sure we are not ashamed of Him or His Word whatsoever. The second thing we need to understand about sharing the Lordship of Jesus is that it will bring suffering. Okay? It will bring suffering. In fact, you know, we really need to look at it and say suffering, you know, when we become a Christian, suffering is not optional. Okay? You don't even have to pay extra for it. Okay? It doesn't come as an option, you know, like it does when you buy a car, you get all these options. You don't have to pay extra for suffering. When you become a Christian, it comes with the package, okay? All right? Everybody with me on that? Some of you are kind of sitting there like, what's he talking about? Okay, well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, Paul there, when he's writing to Timothy, tells Timothy, join me. Don't be ashamed of our Lord or of me. But join me, he says, in suffering for the gospel. Okay? So, you know, it's like Paul is signing up recruits for suffering. Okay? Now look at what Peter has to say. 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Okay? Even if you should suffer for doing right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always, what does this sound like to you? Verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Doesn't that sound like sharing the Lordship of Jesus? It does to me. You see? Always be prepared to do that. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, verse 17, if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You see, suffering is going to come. When Paul says things like, join me in suffering for the gospel, you say, then we need to know that's what's coming. You say, and we need to know that even as Peter says, it is much better. We're going to suffer. The message I hear from this is, in life, we're going to suffer. Okay? And it's much better for us to suffer for doing good than it is for us to suffer for doing evil or wrong. See? But suffering is going to come. It's a part of life, and it certainly is part of sharing the Lordship of Jesus. We need to be ready to give the answers for the reason for the hope that we have, he says. And understand that when we do give answers, there are going to be some folks who are going to treat us perhaps like they do Tim Tebow, you see, that we're going to suffer. But we need to keep on sharing the Lordship of Jesus. Now, here's the final question for us this morning as we're looking at this. How long do we share the Lordship of Jesus, and how long should we expect to suffer? Okay? I'll give you a hint. All right? The answer is point three on your study guide there. Okay? The answer is till He comes. Okay? Till He comes. Not just, you know, for a little while. I'd put up with it, you know, just for a week or so. Okay? Or maybe a month. Maybe periodically I can put up with a little bit of suffering and shame for the cost of Jesus, but no, this is till He comes. Okay, we need to be prepared, you see, to share the Lordship of Jesus with others, and we need to be prepared to suffer till He comes. Now, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me, and you know, as we go back to the place where we were earlier in this worship time, where what we did over here, we were celebrating, you see, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. See? Now, I don't know about all you folks that are sitting way back in the back, and by the way, I won't charge you any extra for this. You guys do realize that the seats up here cost the exact same amount as those in the back do. I just thought I'd put that plug in there this morning, okay? All right, can you read what's on the front of this table up here? See? It says, in remembrance of me. It says, in remembrance of me. Okay? It says, in remembrance, thank you, of me. All right? Now look at what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. Do you see a theme flowing through this? You say, remember, thank you. He wants us to do this in remembrance of Him, right? Okay? How long are we supposed to do this? Okay? Look at what he says next. For, verse 26, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You proclaim His death until He comes. That's how long we're supposed to be doing it. Until He comes. That's how long we're supposed to be sharing the Lordship of Jesus, and that's how long we should be expecting to suffer under the Lordship of Jesus. Said, until He comes. Okay? Until He comes. Notice that this is not just a matter of remembering. Okay? There are two things that are taking place here. We are to be doing this, again, in remembrance of Him. Okay? And when we are doing it, what are we doing? We are proclaiming His death. See? those two things are happening. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that we gather together on the first day of every week, is to participate in this celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, so that we will remember and we will proclaim. See? And that we will do that until He comes. See? This is a time of year when a lot of people are focusing on the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. There are a lot of people that are just focusing on Santa Claus and the coming of Santa Claus. Okay? And there's a time for that also. Okay? No, you know, nothing wrong with doing that, in my opinion. Okay? But that's just my opinion, and y'all know everybody has, you know, opinions, and they're like armpits. We have a couple of them, and they all stink, right? You know, so my opinion on things like that are just as valid and important as yours are. So if you want to celebrate Santa Claus and do all that, that's great. But, you know, also it's a time when people are focusing on the coming of Jesus. See? It's a time of joy. It's a time when, as Dale talked about, the people are giving more and all of those things. It is a time for us to take the opportunity, see, while the world in a sense is primed for the reception of us sharing His Lordship. Because as I told you when we began this series of lessons, Jesus' coming here was not just simply to come here as a baby. It was not even just to come here to die for our sins. That a part of Jesus' coming here was to make Himself Lord of our lives. And we can celebrate His birth, we can celebrate His death, but if we miss His Lordship, then all the other is for nothing. Because Jesus wants us to have Him to be Lord of our lives. And that's what that's all about. Now, as we finish up this morning, here's what I want you to think about. Is Jesus truly Lord of your life? You can't share Him with someone else if you don't have Him as Lord of your life. So is He Lord of your life? Okay. Maybe some folks here this morning who have not called upon Jesus to be Lord of your life yet. You've not given your life to Christ. You've not had your sins washed away. You're still separated from God. You're here for a reason, I assume, because you know something about Jesus, and maybe you're thinking and you haven't come to the point where you're ready, but if you are at that point, then it's a wonderful opportunity for you to give your life to Christ and make Him Lord of your life. You can do that right now, if that's what you're ready to do. But for those who are already Christians, who already have claimed Jesus as your Lord, that perhaps maybe some things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks about the Lordship of Jesus have caused you and allowed you to see that perhaps maybe you haven't been living with Jesus as your Lord. And there are some things that are going on in your life that you need to get out of there. You have an opportunity to do that this morning also. I'll be up here to receive you. Steve, if you'll come up and lead us in a song. Ted, you're going to be in the back. Ted will be in the back to receive anybody that, if you'd like to go back and just talk to him privately, have a prayer with him. He'll be back there to receive you, and I'll be up front. Let's stand together and see.